Back and delighted we're going to have Debbie Ryan joining us in a few moments, the head women's basketball coach. She's only been there about 34 years. I'd say she's pretty settled in her ways, I'll bet.
She can hold a job.
Yeah. She knows what she's doing. Speaking of basketball, you know, you've got men's basketball in its final stages gearing up. You've got women's basketball revving up. First game, Habo, for the women is what date?
Friday the 12th, the Hofstra Pride, that one's on the road in Hempstead, New York. And then their first home game, their opening game in John Paul Jones Arena is Sunday the 14th, a 2 o'clock tip against Mount St. Mary's.
So a couple of good tune-up games you would expect.
Hopefully they're tune-up games. Coaches never refer to them as tune-up games.
She's got four veterans back and a couple of newcomers that are supposed to be pretty good. So let's see what we got here.
Yeah, I think we may have Debbie on the line. Let me give you a brief introduction to our listeners. Although she doesn't need much introduction. As Frank said, 34th season as the head coach at the University of Virginia, a Hall of Famer, Debbie Ryan. Won her 700th game at the beginning of last season, now stands at 720 wins. That's a lot of W's, no matter how you slice it. Coach, are you with us?
I'm here.
Well,
it's a miracle.
Yeah, Jim Hopgood, Frank Maloney, glad to have you on. We talked earlier. We should have had you on Who's Talking last year. Somehow we missed you last year, so we're glad to finally get you on to talk a little basketball. I have a little bias toward basketball. We got a lot of football talk at this time of year, but it's good to talk basketball. But just kind of give us a preview of the team. Give us a general overview of the ball club as you get ready to start the season on Friday.
We are sort of a work in progress, but a lot of people don't realize that we have 11 returning players. That's highly unusual on any team. Usually you have 7 to 9 returning players, but this year we have a very high number of returning players. So when we started the preseason, it was a little bit easier because with just three first years, you didn't really have to worry about how quickly they were learning things. You just moved at the rate of the upperclassmen. And we think we're ready to go. It's, like I said, it's still a work in progress. We've entered some new things with the program this year, but players like Chelsea Shine and Simone Egwu, Lexi Gerson, Whitney Edwards, China Crosby, they're all looking very, very good for us. And, of course, Polly Jaquelum is making her fourth-year appearance in her fifth year. So we have some leadership. We have a very cohesive group of kids. But right now we have to learn how to win, but we're getting some great performances out of certain players, at least in the practice arena. Now we have to put it on the court.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, you know, back when Dr. Naismith and I invented the game, it was a little different. You know, we started practice October 15th and didn't really play a game until December the 1st. So you had almost 6 weeks of preseason practice. Of course, I realize you have workouts individually before the season practice officially begins. But having that many people coming back, does that give you a chance maybe to change some of the things you do in the preseason practice period?
Yeah, it definitely gave us a little more time. This year, I don't know if you all know this, but our rule changed. We don't start on October 15th. We were allowed to count back from our first day, our first game, 40 days, which was October 4th, and we were allowed to start on that day. We just had to take 10 days off between October 4th and the start of the season, which was November 12th. So it was a great, great way to do it because we could go 3 days of practice hard, take a day off. 3 days of practice hard, take a day off. I mean, it was really a great way to do it, and I think it really helped in terms of not having nearly as many overuse injuries. You never had to go 2 a days because it was plenty just to go once a day, and I really liked it, and I think our men really were envious because they really wanted to start when we started.
I was just going to ask you, is that a rule that the men are even looking at?
I think all the men now are looking at it. What happened was when you're dealing with the NCAA, all you do is throw things at them and see what sticks. We never thought this would stick. We just threw it at them and said, you know, is it possible since soccer and field hockey and people like that get to do this, can we do it? And they came back and said yes. We were like shocked. So in September, we found out this was going to happen. I didn't even know about it until August or September, and the men never asked for it. So now I think the men have probably already put it forward because it's such a great thing for the athlete. I think the athlete can take a day off during the week and a day off on a weekend, which gives them, it's so much healthier for them.
You know, I can see the advantages with that, Debbie. Looking at your lineup or the perceived lineup for the team this year, where do you think the points are going to come from now that you've unfortunately got to replace the awesome play of Monica Wright?
Well, you know, we have a lot of players that can score. I see a lot of chemistry in the post this year, which was not really a big part of our game last year. Chelsea Shine and Simone Egwu have tremendous chemistry. And then I have an extremely good rebounder and just a deft little forward guard-type player coming off the bench in Talia McCall. All those players can score points. From the guard position, you have players like China Crosby who can put points on the board. You have Whitney Edwards who can shoot the ball. You have Kelsey Wolf, a first year, can really play the game of basketball. Now, how she plays at this level, we haven't seen yet in terms of competition, but she certainly is able to put points on the board for us in practice. She's a three-point shooter who also has a nice little game around the basket. It's been interesting watching her development. So you have Lexi Gerson, who was sort of a wild card for us last year, who's playing much more under control this year, has a penchant around the three-point line and then really likes the pull-up game, and, of course, Ariana Moore with the pull-up game. So we have a lot of different choices. There's a lot of different things, a lot of depth. And Paulicia Kellum has come in and really provided us with great leadership and has also put some points on the board for us. So I think there's plenty of points there. I'm not worried as much about that as I am being a really good defensive team because, if you recall, Monica was the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And she covered up a lot of our poor defense last year.
You know, talk about your philosophy this year. Are you going to try to run a little bit more this year with this team?
We are going to get out of the stable and go because we've got to put points on the board. And what I'm hoping is that players like Jasmine Pitts develops pretty quickly because she's a good rebounder. And I think that the more possessions you can create for yourself, obviously, the better. So the more we can force teams, well, more we can turn teams over and get on the offensive boards, the better off our chances are of being a higher scoring team. And that's what we've been working on, is getting up and down the court. Of course, Monty takes that incredibly blazing speed with her to the WNBA, but we are still going to be a very much a running team, and we're not going to slow the game down at all just because of her departure.
That's
Coach, I'm just looking at your schedule, and you're getting certainly an early introduction here. As we said, you open the season Friday at Hofstra on the road, then you come home to Mount St. Mary's, and then you play Tennessee on the road. Mm-hmm. Longwood at home, and then go to the Virgin Islands where you play Iowa State and West Virginia, and then to be announced, and then you play Ohio State in the Big Ten Challenge. Those first half dozen games, that's a brutal schedule. Did you set that up, or did the athletic department set that up?
No. Actually, Coach Palmer's in charge of the schedule, but the segment that's the toughest part is Tennessee, obviously, away. Our first two games won't be easy. Hofstra on the road will be tough. But when you have good chemistry, you usually work through things on the road. So I'm hoping that we have a good start. And with a veteran team, I'm hoping that we go out and set a tone early. There's no guarantee of that. And then you have Mount St. Mary's, always a tough team at home. And then, of course, you go to Tennessee. And then the next Longwood at home, and then the next three games are very difficult. It's Iowa State, next four games, actually. Iowa State,
West Virginia,
and TCU, all three are ranked.
Well,
so that's
you're,
right.
We're hitting five ranked teams in the order of six games.
Yeah, and that's the Thanksgiving week. I guess the first one of those is Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
And then Friday and Saturday play those. Then you come home and have to immediately turn around and go to Columbus to play Ohio State in the Big Ten Challenge. So, yeah, that's
right.
A brutal early schedule.
Well, honestly, we weren't supposed to play Ohio State. That's really got to be a mistake because we were supposed to play the third or fourth place team, and we're playing the first place team. and it all came down to, like, home and away and, I don't know, something like that. So that was not supposed to be the way it was. If it were, if it was going to be that way, we wouldn't have scheduled the way we did. But
yeah.
We didn't find that out until about 2 weeks into September.
Well, I guess you'll find a lot of you'll find a lot about your team in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and that's the good thing about it is that if you can come through there and play fairly well and win games, you're going to be in great shape regardless of who you're playing. And I think that you know, we're going to match up fairly very favorably with some of these people, and it's just going to be a matter of, you know, putting points on the board, playing good defense, and rebounding the basketball. So, I mean, I think we have some talent, and I think we are going to be very prepared for the season. And it's a brutal schedule, but at the same time, it'll prepare us for what we're about to see.
Debbie, I noticed in a media release dated today that Bria Smith signed a letter of intent.
Yeah, Bria Smith is one of the top players in the country. And we just announced that her letter of intent is back, and she actually helped win the gold medal in Toulouse, France, for the United States this year in the 17 and under World Championship. She is a combo guard, really, really good mid-range game, and developing three game. And then she's also an incredible defender. She's freaky athletic. Let me put it that way. She's freaky athletic. She'll add to our program immediately. She will be someone who comes in and makes an impact immediately.
We all know how important it is to have that ball handler that can run the offense like Dawn Staley and someone of that caliber. So hopefully Bria Smith can live up to this to these accolades and can really chip in and help you a lot next year. Final thoughts, Debbie, you know, as we wrap up this segment. This is the post Monica Wright era, and now you've got to somehow rebuild and steer this veteran team into a sort of a new direction. How do you feel going into this this new season?
Well, I feel really good. I mean, I think it's going to be a great challenge, but at the same time, I think it's going to be something that our players are really looking forward to. I mean, they are really looking forward to the season. And they're very, very excited about it. So I just think that we have to figure out who we are and then be who we are and not worry about how, you know, because they've been just pummeled with, what are you going to do without Monica Wright? What are you going to do without Monica Wright? Well, come on, guys. You play basketball. I mean, what do we do without any player that graduates? You both graduated, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what the Cavaliers said a few years ago. What are we going to do without Hobgood?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. What are we going to do without Hobo? I mean,
that's right. And
what
now,
we do?
Before
I
we let you go,
felt
Coach,
like when you left, we were going down the tube.
That's absolutely. You know, Park Hill had nothing to do with it. But now,
but lo and behold, we came back.
That absolutely. A guy named Sampson came along. You know, but now, one last question: is your friend Gino ever going to lose a game?
You know, Gino's already predicted that he's going to lose. You know, he had a pretty significant injury to his starting point guard already this year, so he's riding a little bit thin, and he's got about 5 or 6 freshmen. So he'll probably hit some rough spots early in the season, and I don't know. You know, he's a pretty good coach. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
He's had a heck of a run. But anyway, we appreciate your time tonight. Coach Debbie Ryan, wish you the very best of luck as the season starts on Friday, and we'll try to have you back on during the course of the season.
Well, that'd be great, fellas. Thank you.
Absolutely. Head Coach Debbie Ryan of the Virginia women's basketball team.
Good luck, Debbie. All right, we're looking for our good friend Dr. Thorpe Davis to come in here shortly and give us an update on the injury situation in Charlottesville. Looking at UVA injury reports, the official reports, that is, clearly Razhad Dowling, his injury just is not going away. It's been a huge distraction, I think. I think it's really handicapped Virginia's defense. Hard to believe. Coming into the season, you'd have to say he was the most decorated player from the previous couple of years.
Well, explain to me something, would you? I see on the injury report it says lower extremity. I thought it was a hamstring. Is it something other than the hamstring now?
No. Knee injury followed the hamstring injury. So is he with us? All right. Dr. Davis, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Glad we could catch you. We had Coach Ryan on the line and took us a little while to catch up with her, so we're glad that you could join us. Anyway, we're joined right here by Dr. Thorpe Davis. Dr. Davis is with West End Orthopedic, and I think he's an expert on knees. Would you say that you're an expert on knee surgeries?
What do you think he's going to say?
And he's going to say, yeah.
Of course he's an expert on knees.
Any smart physician will tell you he's never an expert.
See, how about you're wrong?
Well, no.
Call off guard that time, buddy.
He's going to have to work on my knee before long. You know, I'm going to have a personal testimony for West End Orthopedic before long.
Well, let's get back to the injury report. We were touching on the fact that Razai Dowling's knee has not gotten better. So, unfortunately, that sprained knee that he suffered following the hamstring injury, he just has played only a few plays in the last six games. Reynard Horn has been demoted on the depth chart and handling kickoff duties. He's no longer the third-string tailback. Chase Minifield was pulled this past weekend. I think we should probably focus on that. Keith Payne has got a leg injury, but he's not missing any games. Chase Minifield's started the game at cornerback for Virginia this past weekend down in Durham, but then got pulled at some point in the first half and did not return. And
so do we know what Minifield's problem is?
It still has not been disclosed. We will get a report tomorrow from UVA. But Thorpe, any thoughts on the UVA injury situation?
I don't know what these knee injuries are. Broadly categorized, obviously, when you have a hamstring injury, you may start using your lower extremity in a different biomechanical way and transfer stresses elsewhere. Generally speaking, in terms of ligament injuries of the knee, obviously the medial collateral ligament, you can play with a straight medial collateral ligament in a brace. Even a posterior cruciate ligament will heal and you can play in a brace. Obviously everybody knows the ACL, when it tears, has to be surgically reconstructed, and it's less likely you can play in a brace. Not knowing what he has, hard to know exactly when they're going to return. You wonder if he's in a knee brace, whether the other end of the hamstring may have been injured also, though. You know,
right.
Obviously that could have happened also. I think we spoke last time, ironically.
Now, what do you mean by the other end of the hamstring?
Well, I'd say the hamstring goes, from the top of the tibia all the way up to the pelvis, and he may have strained. He may have started off with a high hamstring strain and now have a strain, but it's hard to know. We talked last time about the fact that it's a struggle with these hamstring injuries. You sort of get 70 or 80% better, and you want to come back for the good of the team, and maybe you come back too early, and then you're out again. But hard to know exactly what's going on with the cornerbacks.
Well, we know that Reynard Horn has been wearing a knee brace, and I believe it's his right knee, and we'd have to suspect that it's not the ACL, because he's been able to demonstrate that he can really run fast going forward, and he can plan it. However, he obviously has been demoted on the depth chart at tailback, and that's unfortunate. It does give an opportunity to Torrey Mack. The fourth tailback has now been moved up as third, but the Minifield injury is very suspicious. I did not see the play in last night's replay of the Duke game, so I'm not sure what happened to Chase. The team is already missing Joe Torsha for the year with his shoulder surgery, re-injured shoulder, and obviously Tim Smith's ankle problems. They could have used him because he was the number three wide receiver. So looking at the team now, going forward, Virginia really has to hope that Landon Bradley's hand surgery has been a success, because it'd be nice to have him back in the lineup at left tackle, and then they could move Obishi back to right tackle, and maybe Moses could play right guard, and it just puts bigger, stronger, more agile players on the field for Virginia. But,
Doctor, let me jump in here and just ask you a hamstring thing. The one thing about college football anymore, between the TV timeouts and the ref running over to look at the replay, these guys are standing around a lot. To me, the hamstring, what you need to do is get sufficiently warmed up. Does that contribute to hamstring as much as these guys stand around during games anymore?
I think you're right. I mean, we were always taught to raise the body core temperature by half a degree by warming up for about 5 minutes and then stretching. And you're right. There is a lot of standing around in television timeouts, and that certainly could lead to it. But I think at this level, having stood on many a sideline over the last 15 years. These guys stay pretty warm and are pretty good about staying stretched out on the sideline. I just wonder if really what's going on is that these things never really have a chance to heal. They're under so much pressure. And, you know, I remember John Madden used to say, I think that his theory was that if you had a good offensive line and cornerbacks, you are set. And that's how we would build a team. And it's just really tough for a team to have their starting cornerbacks out. This really provides a weakness.
I wonder about the TV pauses.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, Dallin was going to be the show pony for this team. Unfortunately, as Frank said, he hadn't been on the field that many minutes. I guess if you totaled it up, it may or may not total a game, but he hadn't been out there that much. But anyway, Dr. Frank, you got. I guess we may let you enjoy the rest of your evening, but we appreciate your calling in and giving us some more feedback on some of these injuries.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Thorpe.
Dr. Thorpe Davis, West End Orthopedic. We're going to go to break right now and come back with our final segment of the first hour, which may include Michael Tuskey. I'm not absolutely sure, but it'll be exciting regardless.
Okay, we're back. We're going to jump immediately to Michael Tuskey with a non-revenue sports report.
We'll start off with men's soccer. The number 10 Virginia men's soccer team has a final regular season record of 10-4-3 and 2-4-2 in ACC play. The team suffered an embarrassing loss 2-0 to NC State on Saturday in Raleigh. That game was NC State's first ACC victory of the season. However, we did receive some honors. Junior forward Brian Ownby was named to the 2010 All-ACC First Team, while forward midfielder Brian Spann was named to the All-Freshman Team. Some good news earlier this afternoon, the team entered the ACC tournament as the number 6 seed, and they upset number 3 seed Wake Forest 1-0. Hunter Jumper scored the only goal of the game, and now Virginia advances to face number 2 seed Maryland Friday at 5:30 p.m., in the semifinals. All those games are in Cary, North Carolina.
That's a revenge deathmatch game for the Hoos.
Definitely. We want to remind our listeners about Chalk Talk. That's at 2 p.m. this coming Saturday at Alumni Hall prior to the football game versus Maryland. A guy named Frank Maloney is the host, so
Me?
You don't want to miss that.
Now we know where we're talking about it.
Yep.
That's right.
This week's program features Zach Yarborough and Howard Beaver Petty, a star from the first Peach Bowl back in 84 before my time.
So does he leave it to Beaver?
Something like that.
All right. We're headed to our top of the hour break. We will be joined when we return by assistant basketball coach Jason Williford. Little hoops tonight between Debbie Ryan and Jason. So stay with us. And don't forget our phone number, 345-010, if you want to call in and ask Coach Williford a question about the basketball team. Back after these messages with the coach.